Good evening to everyone. This is on, I suppose. Appreciate each one that's here tonight. Desire your prayers as we look in the Word of the Lord. I brought this message with me. It's been probably 2 years ago now, maybe. Give us a little backdrop. I was sitting at a home in a place with a brother, his wife, and their daughter. This daughter is, probably in her 50s, I guess. I'm several years older than her. I don't really know what her age is, but I've known her since she's a teenager. And I was up in my 20s, so I'm several years older than she is. And she was sitting there, and she was talking about her life and about the her husband, his job, their financial condition, and so forth. And she went on and on and on and on and on. That didn't bother me. I just sitting there listening. And she had it very well that everything was in great shape. And literally and financially and all the things that go with that, yeah. Husband's got a good job. He's well respected. He's got a lot of authority on the job and the place and so forth. And I was sitting there and I was thinking as she was talking. And the Lord gave me part of a scripture. Now let's move to from that point to back in April, I believe it was. We was out in South Carolina at Molly's. I was up praying early one morning. And I got praying for this person. And I got to thinking about what the Lord had showed me. And the Lord said, one thing thou lackest. One thing. And I got to meditating on that and thinking and praying. And the more I meditated, the more stirred I got. And I thought, you know, the Lord might be going to give me a message out of that. I wasn't sure at that point. But it had me stirred, one thing. Now then, I don't want to preach it too close, but I ain't going to give you much wiggle room neither. Because one thing can send you to hell. It don't have to be a lot of sins. You don't have to be a drug dealer or an alcoholic that sells alcohol. One sin can send you to a devil's hell. All right, let's go to Mark, the 10th chapter. Get my text, please. Again, we desire your prayers. As I told the little crowd here this afternoon, you get up here and you get all nervous and shook up. And my knees have actually knocked at Monarch, literally, because I was so scared, so to speak. And when he was come forth into the way, the tenth chapter, Mark 17th verse, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother. And he answered and said to him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And he said to him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and thou shalt take up the cross and follow me. And he went away sad at that saying. And he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Now then, I believe it's in 19th, let me look here, 19th chapter of Matthew. I want one thing out of it. I believe it's 19. I can't find it, I'll just quote it. But it's the same story. And anyway, this young man, when he come to him, he said up here in the 20th verse of the 19th chapter of Matthew, and the young man saith unto him all these things. In other words, the Lord told him, you know, the commandments and so forth. And the young man, he said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Now this young man wanted something. He was interested in something that he didn't have. Now tonight, when the prodigal son got in a pig pen and got down as far as he could get, he came to himself and he looked back and he saw what his father had and he saw what he was at home, and he decided that he would rise and go back home. In other words, he looked at it, he thought about it, he considered it. One thing that you and I need to do tonight, we need to look at where we're at. You know, sometimes we think we're doing pretty good, and maybe we are. But I'm going to tell you, these meetings are held to the glory of God, the good of souls. But the bottom line is, the Lord wants us to examine ourselves. Look at Him, or look at us through the spotlight of the Spirit of God, and He wants us to see if there's anything lacking. Do we need something? Whatever it might be, and I'm going to go through a list of things tonight, because the Lord is wanting us to think, consider, and weigh that you're not quite where you ought to be. You do need some help. One thing thou lackest. He said, what lack I yet? What do I need here? I'm keeping all these. Listen, he was a good young man. He was better than most people today. There's thousands, millions of people out there. Wasn't near as good as this young man. And the Lord looked on him and he loved him. Listen, he's looking on every one of us tonight, and he's loving us. He's desiring us to be exactly what he wants us to have, and he wants us to move forward and get closer to God than we've ever been. One thing thou lackest. All right, let's go to James, the second chapter. James, the second chapter, in the 8th verse here. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors, convicted. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, now listen to what this says, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Now what he is saying here is that it don't take a whole host of sins to get you lost. Like I said, I want us to get down. Sometimes we think we can slip by in one way or another. There's some people say, well, I just told a white lie. Is there such a thing as a white lie? A lie is a lie, folks. If you tell somebody that you didn't do something that you did, point blank, that's a lie. It's wrong. You're in trouble. And he's saying here, you know, like I say, you might want to say that I done just a little bitty thing. What's little in the eyes of you and what's little in the eyes of God can be different. God looks down on the heart. He knows everything about you and I. He knows every thought and intent of the heart. He knows exactly what we're doing, where we're at. He knows how old we are. He knows all the hairs on our head. He knows the color of our hair. He knows everything about us tonight. And the Lord wants you to come to the thing. What lack I yet? Where am I at? How am I doing? What do I need now? Praise God. The Lord wants us to think about where we're at tonight. There are too many people wandering around, and they've got a profession, and they've got a testimony, but yet they don't really lack the goods. We need to get the goods tonight, folks. He said, what lack I yet? And Jesus said, all right, over here, that you keep the one, but if you go and do the other, you're guilty. You're guilty of the whole law. Listen, the one that wrote one wrote it all tonight. And he wants you and I to keep how many of the commandments? How much of the word? 99.9? No, 100%, praise God. By the grace of God, he wants you and I to do exactly what he wants us to do. Not what you and I want to do. He wants our lives, heart, soul, mind, and body. He wants us to turn loose and surrender and give everything to God and say, Lord, here am I. Do ever what you want with me. Some people don't want to come to that. But what lacketh I yet? What are we lacking tonight? Look at yourself. Don't look at anybody else. Sometimes people want to look over here at that one or over there at that one. Or that they need that message. Let's look at us tonight. What lack I yet? Wise statement. Rich of the man in the pig pen. I know of a person that I was trying to help. And they got to doing some things. And I went to them, I told them, I said, listen, did you do this? No. And they sat there and they lied to me. And I knew they were lying to me. And I said, well, I said, here's the deal. I said, when you hit the bottom of the barrel, you'll be calling me. And sure enough, they did. I saw their number and their name come up on my phone. And folks, I could have not answered that. But I knew that if I didn't help them, I didn't know what would happen. And we did. We answered the phone and we talked to them. And you know what they told me? Said, well, Carl, I've hit the bottom of the barrel. I'm at the bottom. There is thousands and probably millions of people that almost are at the bottom of the barrel. And they need to look at themselves. They need to consider themselves of where they're at. Some of them have got, they're wasted their lives in sin tonight. I'm preaching to a lot of people tonight that are good people, saved people, sanctified people. But the bottom line is some of us may have one thing that we need to take care of. Dig a little deeper. Get a little closer. Be more like Christ. Be more pleasing to the Lord. I'm going to tell you tonight, Lord, help us. These meetings are for you and I to examine ourselves by the Word and the Spirit and say, Lord, what lack I? Can I do better, Lord? Can I get closer, Lord? Can I be more like Christ? Listen, the Lord wants us to do what He wants us to do. Are we willing to do that? Well, I got this little pet thing, Lord, and I don't really want to touch it. Remember the song about the room? And the room of the heart, is that what it is? Well, I've done janitor work for many years. And most, just about everybody has one drawer somewhere in their house that's full of junk. And they go in there and they got screws and they got this in it and that in it. But folks, some of them got bigger than that. Some of them got whole rooms. And I've gone in and looked in home and they said, all right, I want you to clean everything but this one room. Don't you touch that room. Well, out of curiosity sometime, this old boy looked in there. I thought, no, I don't want to clean that room. I don't want to go in there. I don't want to have nothing to do with it. I got enough trouble cleaning the rest of the house. Listen, folks, tonight, let us look down. I didn't know I was going to quite stay on this long, but let us look into the room, praise God. Let us see if we need more of what God has for us tonight. Let's go to Mark, the 7th chapter now. And you pray for us. I appreciate your prayers. 7:14 of the good book of Mark. When he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entereth into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered in the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. He saith unto him, are you yet without understanding? Are you also without understanding? Are ye so without understanding also? I'll get it right in a minute. Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the drouth, and purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetous, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blaspheme, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within. Come from within and they defile the man. Now then tonight, I'd say most of us don't have anything to do with a lot of this. I can walk by every smoke shop. I can walk by every bar. I can walk by a lot of things. It won't even affect me. I've done it. I've drove by casinos in Shawnee at all hours of the day and night pretty well. 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning to go to pray for somebody at the Golden Rule Home. And there was a lot of cars in that casino. Didn't interest me a bit unless I could get them to come outside and preach to them. Try to get help to them. I've been in Catholic churches and I've been in other churches just to look at the buildings in New York City and Washington, D.C. and wherever and saw what was going on. And I stood there. My heart was grieved. I wanted to say, you can be free today, praise God. You don't have to do the penance. You don't have to confess to the priest. You don't have to do any of that. Listen, you can be free. You can be delivered. You can have power. You can have authority. But I couldn't open my mouth. I had to be quiet. Amen. But he said from within. Listen, folks. One thing from within. One thing. Of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts. Now then, have we been having any evil thoughts? Adultery, fornication, murders. You don't have to pull a gun on somebody to kill them. You can kill their reputation with your mouth. You can have thefts, have covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blaspheme, pride. Are any of us dealing with pride? That young lady... Well, I wasn't young, but that lady that I was listening to, she makes a statement about herself, and I don't want to say what she says because it might tell you where I'm talking about. But she makes a statement that I'm the queen. I got news for you. If there was 5 million of them, I wouldn't marry her. I won't have anything. All I don't want to do is show love to her through God in the gospel. But she is so full of pride. She's so full of herself. Her daddy, I love him dearly. I've worked with him in the gospel work for many, many years. But the mother has, I think, been saved and so forth, but not really since I've been connected with the congregation for a number of years. I don't know that she's ever been saved in any of that time, but before that. And some have told me, I don't know if she'll ever get back. Don't know if she'll ever get there. Well, I don't either, to be honest about it. She's a number of years older than I am. And it don't look like she's going to get there. But I'm going to tell you what, pride is a great damage to a lot of people. All right, let's go to John, the 3rd chapter. St. John 3rd, Nicodemus, the good Lord. He said here, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And up here above that, except 3rd verse, 3 and 3 says, and Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 for connecting scripture here. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. It said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. One thing thou lackest. Now, the bottom line with the rich young ruler, the one thing that he lacked, he needed to get rid of his money. Now, somebody said, why would the Lord want him to just give it all away, get rid of it? You know why? Because his heart was centered on it. The Lord will require from you and I what our heart. Now, he wants us to give up all sin. That's true. But there could be some things that he goes a little bit deeper. I'm going to tell you, when I was the night I got saved, I wanted to be, well, I'd been way before that. I wanted to be a millionaire. I wanted to be wealthy. And I was setting my sights that way. And some of you heard me tell this many times. But the bottom line was, the Lord told me that night. He said, child, you can be ever so rich and I can take it all away in a moment's time. The Lord doesn't need our money, per se. He owns everything. But if there's anything tonight, like that rich young ruler, he had a good life. There are people in here got a good life. But what lackest thou? In this case here, Nicodemus was a great man.
But he's saying, how can I get this? What about this? And he slipped in and talked to the Lord about it. And the bottom line, he said, you must be born again. You must be delivered. You must be saved and sanctified. You must have the power of God. You must have something, Nicodemus. Listen, Nicodemus, you must be born again to see it. You must be born again to get into it. You can't just get there without it. You've got to have the blood applied to the doorpost of your heart. Listen, folks, tonight, the real salvation is a bloody religion, but I want it that way, praise God. I want that blood applied. I want that working of the Spirit of God. I want Him doing what He needs to do. I'm not interested in Carl's way. I'm interested in God's way. You must be born again. What lackest thou? Is there anybody here tonight that don't have salvation? You'll be saved if you will. Let your heart door swing wide open. Lord, help me here. Swing wide open and let the Lord work with that heart. Let Him deal. Whosoever will, let him come. Oh, tonight are you saved? Could you get out to heaven or go out into eternity and deal with God? You're a good young man, but you're not saved. Do you know there's been thousands of people? You heard what Brother Michael said the other night. How he had worked with them and worked with them and worked with them. And yet they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't pray. They wouldn't do what they needed to do. And they died and they went out into eternity. Somebody said, well, that won't happen to me, Brother Carl. I'm going to pray before I die. There have been people died so fast they never had a chance to pray. There have been people that's been in our meetings that have gone out with a convicting power. And one of them, my brother, done everything he could do to get him to come back in. He was trembling and shaking, he was. And Craig went after him to bring him back. And he wouldn't do it. And within about 2 weeks, we got word that he had drowned in a whirlpool. And he never did get saved that we ever know of. He went out into eternity not saved. Listen, folks, if you're going to get into heaven, you've got to be saved. There ain't no no joining a church or writing your name or baking a cake for the preacher or giving him money. You must be born again. You must be redeemed. You've got to have a no-soul salvation, a salvation tonight that you know that you've got it. Amen. That you've got what you know. Oh, tonight, Lord, help us. No-soul salvation. Been thinking on that. No-soul. In other words, you know that the Spirit of God has washed all your sins away. And that you're redeemed, free, happy. And you've been brought up and out, your feet set on a solid rock. He's established to go on. He's put a new song in your mouth, even praise be unto God. Many shall sit in fear and shall trust in the Lord. Listen tonight, you're going to have to be redeemed. Are you redeemed tonight? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're ready to die if you was to die right here in this pew? We've had people die right in our church services. On our campgrounds. They've gone out in eternity just like that. One of them's daddy passed away in Oklahoma City sitting in a Wednesday night or Sunday night service. I wasn't there, but he passed away just like that. There's been others. Brother Sammons one night was in a meeting out in Holly Hill many, many moons ago, and a man just apparently died right there. He was up preaching. He quit preaching and went back there. Everybody was getting excited. Brother Sammons grabbed his hand. He couldn't feel no pulse. Man's eyes rolled back in his head. As far as he could tell, he said he was gone. And he was there and said, oh, call the ambulance, do this, do that. Brother Sammons, let's pray. I'd hear the old general say, let's pray. And they started praying. Brother Sammons had a hold of his hand, I believe it was. And all of a sudden he felt a little movement. And he looked and the man's eyes rolled back. And things started changing real quick. The Lord had mercy and brought this man back. But that doesn't mean you get brought back. There have been people that once they died, they was dead and that was it. When you're dead, you're dead. When you're in a cemetery, you're in a cemetery. And as far as I know, I don't know anybody that's been resurrected out of the grave in my lifetime anywhere in this country. You must be born again. You must be redeemed and washed. Are you redeemed? Are you, do you have tonight a no-so salvation? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4 and 3. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 3. Said this is the will of God, even your sanctification that you shall obtain from fornication. This is the will of God, even your sanctification that you should abstain from fornication. Now, we as a body, well, let's go back a little bit. Let's go back to the disciples. If you go in the book of Acts and look at the way the disciples handled it after the Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Spirit. What was one of the urgent things they asked people? When they went and dealt with them and talked to them, they said, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Have you been filled? Well, we don't so much know. Maybe somebody said, you've been baptized. No, they said, filled with the Holy Spirit. We don't know about that. Well, they begin to tell them about it. I'm going to tell you, we have the same urgency tonight. But we live in a wickeder world today than was back then. We've got sin on every hand. We've got a country that's in a mess. We've got a world that's in a mess. And I'm going to tell you what you need tonight is salvation and sanctification. You need to be filled with the Spirit of God. You need to have the power if you're going to live the life, if you're going to make heaven your home without a doubt, if you're going to have power and authority and do what the Lord wants you to do, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. What lackest thou yet? What I lack? What lack I yet? Then Jesus said, one thing thou lackest. Would the Lord look at you tonight and said, one thing, you lack the Holy Spirit? Do you lack the Holy Spirit tonight? Oh, tonight, the devil took the Lord up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said, if you'll fall down and believe, worship me, I'll give you all of that. The devil was a liar right there. But the bottom line is, folks, the devil is still showing people the kingdoms of the world and the riches of the world and all the grandeur of the Lord. And he said, if you'll stick with me, I'll give you some of this. And then he says, if you serve God, if you give your heart to Him, He won't let you have much of this. You can't have that nice home you want. You can't work that job you want. You can't have all that money or that pretty wife or that handsome husband. Well, you can't have all that. If you give your heart to God and fully and completely in sanctification, you can't have that. Listen, the devil is a father of lies. Amen. And he's still lying today. And he is telling you things that is untrue. Tonight, you need to be sanctified. Listen, folks, there have been people that have been saved, and they've been a little up and down and flipping and flopping and maybe in and out a little bit. But then when they get down and get good and saved, and then when they get down and get filled with the Holy Ghost, usually they level and plane out, and there they go. You need to plane out tonight, and you need to go. You need to go for God. And what I mean by that, live for Him. And I'm talking about a calling particularly. I'm talking about just living for the Lord. Getting settled and satisfied and sanctified and getting settled and established in the things of God. There's where we need to be tonight. Listen, if you went out into eternity, or as the Lord speaking, you say, one thing thou lackest, child, you lack the Holy Ghost. You lack the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of people out there lack the Holy Ghost. They want a lot of things, but they want to have their own way. The Lord wants to give you the great one. He wants you to have the Holy Spirit tonight. Oh, Lord, help us. Let's go to Mark 12 and 28. I might get through this about 45 minutes. Now, wouldn't that be nice? Let's go to Mark 12 and 28. Now let's get down in some things that hinder people a lot. One of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked them, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said to him, well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength. Love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that, he answered discreetly. He said to him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Not far. You know, it's nice to be traveling somewhere and get real close. Say, I'm getting home. I've made numbers of trips in my lifetime. And seemed like going out, it ain't no problem. You get there pretty quick. But coming back home seemed like the house backs off. Every time you go on 1 mile, you're losing two. You're backing off more and more. But tonight, he said, you're not far. Listen, folks, tonight, exactly where are we at? How far are we from the kingdom? How far are we from salvation? How far are we from sanctification, being filled with the Holy Ghost? How far are we of loving God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and body? Giving it all to God. How far are we tonight? All right, let's go to John 13, 34. John 13 and 34. Let's get on down to where I'm wanting to get to here. 13 and 34 of John. Most people know what I'm going to preach here. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. But this shall all men know, that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. All right, let's go to 1 John. That's tight from John to John. John 3, 1 John 3 and 14. He said, we know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. But he said here in the last part of this scripture, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Amen. Now what is God? God is love. That's what it says right over there in 1 John. I didn't read that, but right over there it said, God is love. Now if people look at us, they're going to expect to see love. They're going to expect to see a person that loves people. And he's saying tonight, I want you to love me with all your heart. There's where it all starts right there. We got to give him everything. We got to love him with every bit of it. We don't need a half cup of love. We need a full cup. Matter of fact, we need it brimming over. Let's just get it running over, praise God. Then we'll have a little jumping and shouting around here, Sister Sherry. Because you're so excited. But the bottom line is you got to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as thyself. Do you love your neighbor tonight?
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Do you love him and love him and love him? We had a snowstorm when I lived in Oklahoma City. Several inches deep, 11, 12 inches. This hadn't been back, no, I don't know what year it was, quite a few years ago. I wasn't married at the time, so it was back in the 70s, I guess. I went as far as I could walking, and Daddy was able to get to me and took me over because my tractor and box plate and all was at Mom and Daddy's. It wasn't even my place. So I got it. We got it started, and I started cleaning things off where we could get in and out. I went over to my place, and I started doing mine. Right next door to me was a woman that was a divorcee. Known her for many years. She didn't have a tractor. She didn't have a box blade. And she didn't have nobody to help her. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, I want you to go over there and clean her driveway off. I said, Lord, I said, no. I want you to go over and love thy neighbor, so to speak. I want you to show her some love. And I got mine done. I had time. Guess what it done? Went right next door and started cleaning hers off. Was she pleased? Yes, she was pleased. Listen, folks,
the problem with the world today is, bottom line, mark it down in your little book, there's people that don't love their neighbor. Amen. It's time to say yes, because there's too much killing, there's too much rioting, there's too much destruction, and the whole bottom line is that people don't love one another anymore. Amen. They don't love one another. And that's what's causing all the trouble, partially, is that fact right there. Do we love our neighbor tonight? Now then, do we love our brother in church?
Yes, Lord.
Was in a meeting one time, 1977, fair, in February. Another evangelist holding the meeting. I'd barely started preaching at that time. And he was there, and I went over to hurt him. Man, young man went to the altar. I didn't even know who he was. And they started gathering around and working with him, and it took him quite a while. He couldn't get anywhere. Well, I mean, he could, and the fact they could pray and everything, but he just didn't have that big blessing. And he couldn't get it. Finally, the counsel was given to him that you're going to have to take it by faith. If you've repented, if you've done everything you know to do, take it by faith. If you've confessed it all, well, I've done all that. He said, all right, then. Whoever, I don't remember who all was at the altar. I know the evangelist. And take it by faith. He did. Well, I was talking to him later, this young man, and I become friends. And he told me that he went home. I don't know if he went home Sunday afternoon or went home Monday. I don't remember that. But anyway, he went home the next Wednesday night. He had pulled into the church parking lot, was all blessed, excited, and happy. And he said another car went behind him and went down here and pulled in and parked. And he looked down there, and that was a preacher in the congregation. That wasn't the pastor, it was a young minister. I knew this man. We were good friends. Still are, as far as that goes. And he looked down there and he told me, he said, Carl, I knew something was different because when I looked at him, I loved him. Because he said, before I hated the ground he walked on. You hated a preacher? Yeah, I hated that preacher. I did not like him a bit. But he said, when I looked and I knew that I loved him, he said, I knew there'd been a change made. I knew that. Listen, folks, love thy neighbor. Love thy brethren. Do something for thy brother. Help thy brother. Pray for thy brother. Stand by thy brother. Call thy brother. Text thy brother. Send cards to thy brother. Visit thy brother. Do everything you can do to help your brother. Praise God. If you get offended, forgive him. All right, he said, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Now we don't want to think about this last part of this. What lackest? One thing thou lackest. Have you got animosity? Have you got hate? Have you got ill will towards a brother or a sister in a congregation somewhere? You got a little irritated at them. You're not happy with them. You won't get the thing settled. Or maybe you've tried to get it settled and can't get it settled. And the devil's got in there and got some bad thoughts. Evil thoughts. Hard thoughts. Is that he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. One thing thou lackest. Whosoever hated his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Oh, how much love do we have tonight? Where are we at? Are we holding something on somebody? All right, let's move to the next point. Let's go to Matthew 6 and 14. No. Luke 6 and 36. Luke 6 and 36, that's what I want. Now then, there's three words in the Bible that's about the most powerful words in the whole Bible, especially in the New Testament. And I'm going to talk on all three of them, and all three of them can either bless you or curse you. One of them's love. If you don't love, you can go to hell. Right here it says, be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Be also merciful.
All right, let's go. Let's tie it a little deeper. Let's go to James, 2nd chapter and the 13th verse. He said here, "For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy." Listen, folks, tonight, if we're not a merciful person, God's going to hold us. He's a God of mercy. Remember the deal where the man that owed money, and he went to the man and he begged for mercy, and the man showed it to him and forgave him and so forth. And then he went out to another man that owed him money, which was far, far less than what he owed the first deal. Listen, folks, any debt that we have for God is a large debt. Especially if you're not saved, especially if you're deep in sin, the things that you owe a debt, you cannot pay without the mercy of God. You can't do it. You're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in great trouble. But Jesus Christ has mercy on people every day. He has mercy on them over and over and over. Amen. And he wants you and I to have mercy too. Well, that man went out and he got him by the knack of the neck and "You pay me all," and he started begging and pleading just like that man had done. And he said, "Pay it all," and so forth. And he wouldn't. And I think he had him cast into jail, wasn't it? And put him away. And so then the people watched the whole deal that knew what was going on. And they went back to the man and they said, "Look what he's done." Well, then he come down and he got on to him because he hadn't had no mercy. Listen tonight. Jesus is a man of mercy tonight. He's a man of great mercy. Listen, there's people that has spit on him, so to speak, that's done him wrong in every way, that's tramped his blood and his mercy and his love and his compassion. And they've stomped on it, walked on it. They've used his name in vain. They've done all kind of things tonight. But the bottom line is, Jesus, if they're willing to repent, he will forgive them, praise God. Amen. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. I'm going to tell you, that's a big statement, and it'll take a lot of the grace of God to help you and I do that sometime. There's going to be times people do us wrong. But I got news for you, you've got to be merciful. You've got to have mercy on them. Is there any place where we haven't had mercy? Can the Lord come to us tonight and said, "One thing thou lackest is mercy"? Remember that deal right there? Yeah. Oh, tonight, Lord, help us. If you don't love, if you don't have mercy, you can end up lost. All right, let's go to Matthew 6 and 14. Matthew 6 and 14. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." All right, 11 of Mark. Kind of the same reading here, maybe just a tad different. Mark, the 11th chapter, 25th verse. He says here, "When you stand praying, forgive. For if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." Now, folks, it don't take a PhD to figure that one out. I'm not the smartest man in the world, but I know that means you've got to forgive if you're going to be forgiven. I've been there when people have knifed me, gunned me down, and I've said the statement that they would throw a party and dance in the street if I would go back, if I'd give up, if I'd die. Yeah. They had that much against me because of ruffled feathers. I stopped people from doing what they wanted to do. I got people angry and upset with me, and they turned on me, and a bunch of them did. That is a scenario that happens sometimes. But it can be one person. It doesn't have to be a slew of people. It can be one person. And you can't forgive them. Sister Catherine Williams. Remember her? How many of you remember her?
There are some old heads in here. Old heads that remember Sister Catherine. Dear Sister Catherine, she had a brother that was married, if I remember the story right, and him and his wife, he had a stepson. This stepson wanted to borrow the car, but Sister Catherine's brother needed to go do something real quick, and he said, well, will you let me just go down the street here and do what I need to do? I'll be right back, and you can have the car, and you can go do what you want to do. Evidently, it angered that young man. He climbed up on a balcony, and he took a gun, and when that man got out of the car, he gunned him down in cold blood. Now, Sister Catherine Williams loved her brother, and it got to the point she couldn't forgive this man, and she had to pray. And I believe this is the first one I ever heard make the statement, there is the grace of forgiveness. I've experienced that grace now. You can forgive little things. Somebody can hurt you and you can forgive that, go on and it's fine. Love them and everything's all right. But I got news for you folks. It'll take the power of God sometime for you able to pray down and be able to forgive a person or person, whatever it might be, of things they've done to you when it seemed very unjustified. How would you like your brother killed in cold blood? That'd be tough. I know a man. Loved this man dearly, pastored him for nearly 6 years. Well, I did pastor him 6 years. Named Brother Sire McElhaney, Holly Hill, South Carolina. Him and his wife had two sons. And it's kind of a long story, and I want to tell you, I don't want to stretch this one out. But anyway, this son's wife, wasn't it, got in a wrong relationship and decided she wanted to get rid of her husband where she could have this other man. This man, this boyfriend, pulled up in front of the house, knew about what time this man was coming out the door. He come out the door, he rolled down a window, stuck a rifle out the window, and gunned him down in cold blood right there. Brother Sire struggled with this over and over and over for a long time. His wife was a sweetheart of a saint. Quite a bit older than me. And she lived the life, but he couldn't get there. He just couldn't get there because he couldn't forgive. He just couldn't do it. You say, ain't no problem, Brother Carl. No, I've been there in the fire. I've never been in that situation, but I've been there when I couldn't forgive people. I thought I had forgiven them, but it kept popping back up. You ever have that? You think you got them all forgiven, all of a sudden you decide, no, I ain't got that forgiven yet. Listen, if you ain't got it forgiven, you need to go back to the one. Because if you get there and you have not forgiven, and he said, one thing thou lackest, you didn't forgive that person, hellfire can be your doom. He was in a meeting one night, and the pastor... Well, whatever Brother Clinton is out there, working as pastor of the congregation out there. One of his boys, wasn't it? They were singing a song, I believe, and he come up. Brother Cyrus sitting right over here about where Brother Ed is. And he come up and he spoke to him in a sweet little child voice. And that melted him. And he run to that altar and he begged for mercy. And God forgave him and he forgave the man. But I do know that every year you come up for a whatever review type deal of maybe possibly getting them out early. And every year when this time would come up, Sister Dreen would tell me, said, pray, Brother Carl, said he still has a little bit of trouble with it. I mean, that was your son. Now, I never dealt with that, but I could think in my wildest imagination, that'd be pretty rough if somebody killed your son, your wife, your child, your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, your cousin, whoever, a dear friend. If they gunned them down in cold blood, I could see that'd be a hard one to forgive. One thing thou lackest. Have we forgiven everybody tonight? Have we gone to them and done everything we could do to make anything right that needs to be made right. Let's get it down to where it's on the flat out tonight. If we're going to get to heaven, we're going to have to be merciful, we're going to have to forgive, and we're going to have to love thy neighbor as thyself.
Amen.
Your brother.
Amen.
And everybody. One thing thou lackest, what are we lacking? Is there anything we're lacking? Look at it, think about it, consider it. Are there anything out there that can hinder us? He said, blessed are they. Said, then shall he say to them on the right hand, blessed are ye. Oh, I can't even quote it all now, but anyway, come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But then he shall say, depart from them. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Oh, tonight there's going to be people here depart. There's going to be people here. Those horrible words, depart from me. Depart from me. All right, let's finish up. 1 John 1:9. There's a way to take care of all this tonight. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess, if we're willing, but let's look at it. Let's think about it. Let's say, Lord, is there anything in my life? Lord, put the spotlight of the great love and power of God. Put it on me and show me, Lord, if there's anything in there. And if there is, it's time to settle it. If you need salvation, if you need sanctification, if you need to have forgiveness, if you need to have more love. Had a person right here in the Guthrie congregation when I was quite young in the Lord. And she stood up one morning on a Sunday morning and she said, I need more love of God. And I looked at her and I thought, you're the epitome of love. Sister, what are you talking about? But I found out later what she meant. I can use some more of the love of God too. And that's what she was meaning. Had confidence in her for years and years, all the way till she died. Still got confidence in her. But she wanted to have more. Is there anything more that we need tonight? Praise God. Sometimes we look at a dessert dish. Last night they had some good cinnamon rolls in the back. I got wife one and got me one. She ate hers, I ate mine. She slipped around, I didn't even know it. She liked it so well, she went back and got a second helping. You know, sometimes we look at things and I want two of them. I had some steaks one night in the play, or a steak, not steaks, but a steak. And I tell you, that was so good. I told Mama and Craig, and I don't know if you was there, Deb, or not, but I said, this thing's so good, I could have another one. I'm going to tell you, it's time to look at the plate and say, I want more of that and that and that. I'm going to tell you, God's got a bountiful table tonight. He's got one that everything that you and I need is on that table, praise God. And he wants you to come to the table and get it. He wants to help you. He wants to give you. Say, praise God, I want steak tonight. I want potatoes and green beans and roll and salad. Or you might say, oh, I want that piece of chocolate cake. Oh, that thing looks so good. Come. Come. Whosoever will, let him come. The Lord wants us to reach out. One thing. One thing can send us to hell, folks. There's multitudes of people not guilty of all kinds of sin. But there's some that's guilty of one thing. Brother Sire, his main problem was unforgiveness. But bless God, I'm sure glad he prayed through, because I sure enjoyed pastoring him. Enjoyed. And you know what was his favorite song? 186. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. You've heard that, Brother Marty. I'm redeemed, praise God. Listen, folks, tonight we can be redeemed fully, completely, totally, in every way. The Lord wants to do a whole and a complete work on you tonight. But will you come? Will you say, Lord, here am I. What lack I yet? The prodigal son looked at himself. He decided, I'm going to go back home. I'm going to tell you, it's time to get woke up. It's time to see Father's house is the best around. He's got the best of everything. It's time to come on down.